Hola, and welcome to another episode of One Line at a Time. If you missed any of the previous episodes, you can find them at SpanishDude.com/lines. That link is also below this video or in the first comment. In the last episode, Michael told Eleanor, in The Good Place, every person gets to live in a home that perfectly matches his or her true essence. Then he showed Eleanor her new house. Upon seeing her house, Eleanor responded in a somewhat sarcastic or skeptical tone, "So I guess that's why my house, for example, is this adorable little cottage, whereas other people might have homes that are bigger, like that one," as she gestured at a much bigger house. In Spanish, the subtitlers translated that as, "Supongo que, por eso, mi casa, por ejemplo, es esta casita adorable, mientras otros podrían tener casas más grandes, como esa." Right at the start, Eleanor said "so," but in Spanish, they translated that as "nothing," because the presence of the word "so" doesn't add anything to the meaning of the sentence. "So, I guess that's the reason my house is small," or just, "I guess that's the reason my house is small." Same thing. Then, instead of translating "to guess" as "adivinar," the word usually used for "to guess," they went with "suponer," which means "to suppose." "Supongo" means "I suppose." This totally works because "I guess that's the reason my house is small," "I suppose that's the reason my house is small." There's major overlap between guessing and supposing. When we suppose what happened, we do guess what happened out of all the possibilities. Then, the phrase "por eso" is really common. Directly translated, it means "for that," which is usually short for that reason. In this example, it's the translation of "that's why." "Por eso" can be translated as "that's why," "for that reason," or anything similar, because once again, "I guess that's why my house is small," and "I guess for that reason my house is small," same thing. That's what "por eso" means and how it's used, but why is it "por" not "para," and why is it "eso" not "ese" or "esa"? Let's start with "eso." Eleanor said "that's why" or "that is why." In this context, "that" refers to what Michael said previously. In The Good Place, every person gets to live in a home that perfectly matches his or her true essence. Now, Eleanor is saying that is the reason her house is small. That idea is the reason her house is small. In this sentence, "that" refers to an abstract idea, and in Spanish, when we're talking about an abstract idea, we use "eso." The words "ese" and "esa" are for when we're talking about specific nouns. If you don't totally get what I just said or are confused at all by the whole "ese," "esa," "eso" thing, check out the video about the demonstratives in Logical Spanish. Logical Spanish is a premium course, but until none of us are stuck in our houses anymore, you can become a lifetime member for whatever price you want. It's normally $167 to become a lifetime member, but for now, you name the price. When you're a lifetime member, you get access to all my premium courses, including Logical Spanish. With the Name Your Price special, there's no reason for anybody to not be a lifetime member and have access to Logical Spanish. Go to SpanishDude.com/lifetime for all the details. If you can't swing the $5 minimum, please email me and I'll set up a free account for you. Okay, now let's talk about "por" versus "para." In the video I made about "por" and "para" a while back, link below or in the first comment, I told you that "para" is an arrow and "por" is a go-between. It's an exchanger, a judge, a scale, or anything like that. For example, when we pay for something, it's "por," because we pay money in exchange for whatever we buy. We pay an amount of money equal in value to the thing we buy. Jimmy pays $5 for chicken. Jimmy paga $5 por pollo. $5 on one side, chicken on the other side, por in the middle. When we thank somebody for something, it's por, because we give them thanks in exchange for whatever they gave us. Thanks for the gift, gracias por el regalo. Thanks on one side, gift on the other side, por in the middle. Then, getting back to our example, you know the whole "for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction" thing? Well, this example is like that, kinda sorta. The action is, every person gets to live in a home that perfectly matches his or her true essence. Then, according to Eleanor's guess, the equal and opposite reaction of that is Eleanor getting a small house. My house is a small house for that reason. My house is a small house on one side, that reason on the other side, por in the middle. Then, with "for example," por ejemplo, the translators used "por" for a similar reason. My house is a small house for that reason, for example. Same words, different order. Eleanor gets a small house here, that reason here, por in between them, just like last time, then example here, or an example, with "por" in between them. My house is small, por, for, that reason, por, for, example. If my Spanglish explanation confused you at all, check out my video about "por" versus "para." Then just remember, we pay por things, we thank people por things, and we say "for example" with "por." So, paga por, gracias por, and por ejemplo. I can't think of any contexts where we'd say paga para, gracias para, or para ejemplo. ejemplo. That doesn't mean contexts don't exist, though, only that I can't think of any right now. And if they do exist, they're relatively rare. I do have to point out, the phrase para eso is somewhat common. Por eso and para eso are both pretty common, but in different contexts. That's a rabbit hole for another day, though. Let's move on. My house is this adorable little cottage. Mi casa es esta casita adorable. First, ser versus a star. They used es here, from ser, not some form of a star, because ser is used for permanent characteristics or for characteristics that have to do with the essence of something, while estar is used for temporary characteristics or characteristics that have to do with something's current state of being. Saying my house is this adorable little cottage is basically like saying my house is this house. That's about as existential or of something's essence as you can get. No matter which adjective Eleanor uses, she's talking about the essence of her house. My house is a small house. Mi casa es una casa pequeña. My house is an empty house. Mi casa es una casa vacía. It's ser both times. If we structure the sentence a little differently, though, it depends on which adjective is used. My house is small. Mi casa es pequeña. My house is empty. Mi casa está vacía. In the first example, it's ser because the fact that the house is small is a permanent characteristic of the house. It's part of the house's essence. In the second example, though, it's estar because the fact that the house is empty is a temporary characteristic of the house. It's the house's temporary state of being. Though with vacía, it can probably go both ways, depending on what you mean by empty. If you need any help with ser versus estar, check out the video I made about the topic. Link is below or in the first comment. Then this house is esta casa. It's esta here, not este or esto, because this refers to a specific singular feminine noun, la casa. So it's esta to match la casa. Again, if you don't understand that, check out the video about the demonstratives in Logical Spanish, Module 8, Video 3. I also covered the ito ita thing in Logical Spanish, Module 8, Video 8. In short, adding ito or ita to the end of a noun basically adds the adjective small or little to it. Eleanor said, adorable little cottage, three words, but they translated that as casita adorable, two words. The adjective little is basically built into the noun because of the ita ending. Just house is la casa, but little house is la casita. Then, why did they put the adjective adorable after the noun here, not before it? We talked about this in the previous episode of One Line at a Time, and I covered it in depth in Logical Spanish, Module 8, Videos 6 and 7. Even though adorable is clearly an adjective that expresses an opinion, a reason for putting it before the noun, in this sentence, Eleanor's main point is to differentiate between her little house and the bigger houses. She's using adorable as another way to say little, basically. We typically call smaller things adorable, like an adorable little house versus a big, beautiful house. That's probably why they put adorable after casita. We can't know for sure, because adorable is being used mainly to differentiate. Again, if you don't get that, check out Logical Spanish, Module 8, Videos 6 and 7. Okay, the last part. Whereas other people might have homes that are bigger, like that one. Mientras otros podrían tener casas más grandes, como esa. Mientras is a good word to know. It can mean whereas, like it does here, or while, or meanwhile, or in the meantime, because when said in the same context, all these words and phrases mean the same thing. Eleanor said other people, but the translators just said otros, which means others. Once again, whereas other people might have homes, whereas others might have homes, same thing. Otros represents other people here and is serving as a pronoun, basically. Then the trickiest part, to me at least, why did they use podrían? First, why did they use the verb poder? And second, why did they use the conditional tense, podrían, not the present tense, pueden? The reason they used poder is, that's the most common way to say may or might in Spanish. Normally, we think of poder as can, as in to be able to or to have permission to. Jimmy puede comer pollo. Jimmy can eat chicken, like he has the ability to eat chicken, or he has permission to eat chicken. Then, to express permission, sometimes we also use may in English. And when we do, in Spanish, they still use poder. Jimmy puede comer pollo. Jimmy can eat chicken, or Jimmy may eat chicken. Either he has the ability or permission. But then, Jimmy may eat chicken can mean something else entirely. It can mean Jimmy will possibly eat chicken. And in Spanish, when it represents this different idea of a possibility, they still use poder. So Jimmy puede comer pollo means Jimmy can eat chicken, or Jimmy may eat chicken, as in he has the ability to eat chicken, permission to eat chicken, or it's possible that he will eat chicken. Then another way to say Jimmy may eat chicken is Jimmy might eat chicken. So Jimmy puede comer pollo means Jimmy can eat chicken, or Jimmy may eat chicken. He has the ability to eat chicken. chicken or permission to eat chicken, or it can mean Jimmy may eat chicken or Jimmy might eat chicken. There's a possibility he'll eat chicken. That's why they used poder. Now, why did they go with podrían, the conditional tense, not pueden, the present tense? I mean, Eleanor did speak in the present tense. Other people might have bigger houses. In Spanish, though, they basically said others maybe would have bigger houses. They basically said maybe would have instead of just maybe have. First, using pueden here, the present tense, would have been grammatically correct. It just would have had a more matter-of-fact, cause-and-effect vibe, whereas using podrían, the conditional tense, has more of a speculative vibe. Since Eleanor is speculating here, she's guessing or supposing, they went with podrían. In Spanish, when poder is used to talk about the possibility of something, usually with may or might in English, the more speculative the possibility is, the better choice the conditional tense is. That's why they went with podrían here, to capture the speculating vibe. It's kind of like that in English too sometimes. That's why other people get bigger houses. That's why other people would get bigger houses. Both sentences are saying basically the same thing, but the second example, with the conditional tense, has more of the speculating vibe. There are a million other things I could point out, but we'll leave it at that for now. Don't forget, if you're not already a lifetime member, until none of us are stuck in our houses anymore, you can become one for whatever price you want. Go to SpanishDude.com/lifetime for all the details. I'll see you real soon with another episode of One Line at a Time. Hasta luego.